It's time for All Things Napa with your host, Lee W. Miller, a community leader, full-time realtor, and a serial networker passionate about promoting local businesses. Let's learn what's new in the Napa business scene today.
Welcome to another edition of All Things Napa. I am Lee W. Miller, serial networker, and the official realtor of this fine radio station. This show is all about promoting local business. And guess what? Music is a business. It's also entertainment. And you can be the greatest musician, the greatest group the world's ever known. But if you don't market yourself, no one will ever know. That's what I told my son when he said he wanted to be a photographer. And he was a good photographer, but he didn't want to market himself. But he turned that around, and now he's a very sought-after photographer. And he's also quite the musician as well. I'm really excited today because instead of the normal two guests in the studio, we have one guest that's comprised of four individuals. And we're going to be talking to Weekend Youth the entire hour. That is really cool. Welcome, guys.
Man, I feel bad for you.
Yeah. All right. See, they're excited. It's not like it's 9 o'clock in the morning for them.
Not at all.
Not at all.
We're from the East Coast.
Yeah, he flew in just today. And
we're Gregor. This is my...
Boy, are his arms tired. James...
I was just saying it's nighttime for me. I just got off work, so...
There you go. See, he was gigging all night.
Yeah. Sure.
So in the not too distant future, this will be your full-time occupation, right? That's the goal.
That is the goal.
All right. That was Surf. Why don't we run around the room, not literally, figuratively.
Come on, Lee. Don't lead us on like that.
Introduce, and since you're talking right now, Surf, you go first.
Hello, Lee. My name is Surf, and I'm the singer in the band Weekend Youth.
And I'm James Porter. I'm the guitarist.
And they call me Yoke, but my name is also James, bass player.
And I'm Mikey. I play drums.
All right. Well, we had the pleasure of talking to each other in this studio, I don't know, about 3-4 months ago. And that's when Weekend Youth was fairly new. Now you're a veteran, established band in the Napa Valley.
Seasoned veterans now.
That's what I was looking for, the seasoned part, yeah. I guess I try and avoid that word because I'm a little more seasoned than most.
It also depends on the seasoning, I know.
Yeah, there you go.
It just adds flavor.
Just add water. All right, so the reason that you're here is because you have a big gig coming up on Friday the 13th, March Friday the 13th. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, we didn't. I don't know if we realized it was Friday the 13th, so that's kind of an added bonus.
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah. So March 13th, we are playing the Jam Ballroom. It's our biggest show ever in Napa and probably our last show in Napa for the year. And it's our EP release, so it's exciting for us to be able to play a bunch of new songs with some really cool bands from all over the Bay Area.
Cool. So an EP release.
Yeah. So we have... songs that are coming out, and I'm not allowed to say too much. We're keeping it top secret. But
Mikey's glaring at you.
But suffice it to say that I think we're... I mean, I know there's one song in particular. Actually, I mean, all the songs. I'm just like... Because we've been working really hard behind the scenes to write these for a long time, and now to finally be able to send them out into the world... It's really exciting.
Right. So I know you have quite a big following here in Napa, and you've also played throughout the Bay Area. But this is a great, fun opportunity for your fans to invite other fans that, well, what's all this Weekend Youth stuff? Why you guys go crazy about them? Well, come to the show and check them out, and then you'll feel the same way.
Exactly, yeah. We're playing the ballroom, so tickets have been selling fast, but we do want all of our friends and fans to be there. So the sooner you get your
after this, they're probably going to be sold out like by tomorrow. Because
that's right.
You're on All Things Napa.
Exactly.
There you go. And in our second half hour, Weekend Youth will be playing a little live music right here in the studio. So,
yes.
I think right now we should jump to play one of your songs, and then we'll come back, and I want to ask you guys about the songwriting process, if there is a consistency to it, or, you know, you read about different artists, and, you know, even the Stones, it's like, oh, well, this came to me while I was in the shower, or, you know, weird stuff like that. And if that's the way that it always is, that's cool, but I get the feeling that there's probably some riffs or some melodies or something that start and then there's just never anything done with them and you put them aside and maybe they materialize later.
I think you're right. The first thing, it all starts in the shower. When we take showers together, I don't know what it is. But.
Hey, there's waterproof phones now. You can record anywhere. Record underwater.
We do not shower together.
Not yet.
After we work out in the gym and go straight to the showers.
Okay. All right. Let's play Gotta Be Me. We'll be right back and then we'll talk some more to Weekend Youth.
Mikey's face when I said that.
But I know I've been the signs keep throwing me off. Giving up on the person I've been, they never really brought me any pleasure or pain at all. Just stay the same. Cause it takes more time. Like the world's spinning, like I'm lost in the dark. Try to see through it, gotta keep moving. I feel it deep in my heart. I gotta be me.
Thank you.
right, let's give it up. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a great song.
That was Weekend Youth. Mm-hmm. Gotta be me.
We're clap for ourselves.
Yeah. All right. So that is one of the songs that you will hear at Jam Cellars on Friday the 13th. Tickets still available. We are talking to the hot band Weekend Youth. I'm Lee W. Miller. In case you just flipped over on your radio and you heard that great song, now you know what you were listening to. So I want to talk about the songwriting process because I know nothing about it other than things that I've read from megastars. I do write poetry, though.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and it just kind of, it just comes to me in the shower.
Nice.
So, all right, Mikey, when you are involved in writing a song, talk about the drums.
Okay. So the biggest focus with this band is to really tailor to Surf's vocals. And so in doing that, you have to write parts pretty strategically to go with, you know, the overall concept of the song, but not, you know, be too flashy, be too, you know, take any focus away from what is really pushing the song forward. So with writing drum parts, that's kind of what I have in the back of my mind.
That's interesting. I would not have thought of that. All right, Yoke, Mr. Bassman.
I took my microphone.
yeah, I mean, it's, a lot of the stuff has kind of been more vocal-centric rather than either guitar or drum or bass or anything like that. So a lot of it is just leaving space for the vocals to do their thing and everybody kind of just making Surf sound as best as he can and have something to fall back to and people to dance to while they're kind of listening and taking in lyrics and melodies and all that kind of good stuff. So as long as your feet are moving, I think I'm happy.
That's well spoken for the bass guy. James Porter, lead guitar.
Yeah,
background vocals, sometimes lead vocals, or always yes. Background.
Yeah, always background, maybe. Someday.
Only in the shower.
Yeah, only in the shower. with our writing technique, like these guys said, it is focused a lot around the vocals. However, you know, we spit out a lot of ideas and brainstorm as a group to get these hooks, if you will, going and get them off the ground. So it starts with just ideas, and then it kind of evolves into, you know, what you guys are hearing, and then always thinking about what is going to complement the scenery the best.
So talk about hooks. For people who are not into music, they don't know what a hook is.
You fish with them.
I almost said that.
We are named the same.
I know. So a hook in a song, I mean, it can be even a catchy melody or something that's in the chorus that kind of your brain gets into an acceptance of hearing this melody or these words, and even when they're not present, you can kind of put them together in your subconscious. That's how I have always felt a hook was.
From what I understand, that's the best explanation I've ever heard.
Nice.
All right, Surf. Now they just all talked about how it's all about you and focusing on your vocals.
I mean, you heard that last song, right?
Right after the song, I Gotta Be Me.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. This guy's got an ego on him.
Yeah, I Gotta Be Me, and then we made you wait until last to talk about the songwriting process.
I think the cool thing for me is we've all been in so many bands, and to have this project that we've been working on for, I think,
September.
Yeah, not even a year yet. And to see how we've all sort of even evolved our songwriting process is pretty cool. Like the way James and I used to do it when we started playing together, James Porter and I, he would play a chord or two, and then anything that sounded good, I'd try to sing over top, right? And sometimes, like you were talking about earlier, in the shower songs, right? Songs that just kind of come to you. Those are always the fun ones. But most of the time, for us at least, it's not that. It's going in the studio, like James was saying, and coming up with maybe a little idea, and then bringing that to the guys that we work with, the producers we work with, and being like, is this good or bad? And then I think what's the most important, what I've really learned, is don't be married to any idea, right? If somebody is like, I had this really awful idea I thought was great about seagulls flying. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I thought it'd be so cool to have a song that was like seagulls flying, or something like that. And the guys in the studio were like, what if it wasn't that? And I said, why wouldn't it be? That's a great idea. We didn't go with that idea. It was, in retrospect, not such a good idea.
I had another thought, and I just completely lost it now because of that.
Yeah. You like the song. It's going to be stuck in your head now, isn't
right,
it?
Right.
Let's go back to that song.
Talk
let's,
about hooks.
Let's edit.
Yeah, no.
All right, so we've talked about the musical aspect. What about the lyrics?
The lyrics are even trickier because the way I used to write was a bit more convoluted, and I almost wanted the listener to have to work to understand it. And with this new project, that's not the goal. With Weekend Youth, we wanted people to be able to relate to the songs, and we wanted it to speak from a place that was important to us, but not make it so deep or dense that you wouldn't be able to instantly connect with it. That's our goal.
Okay. And do all members of the band participate in lyric writing and different portions of the melody?
Yeah, and because we're working in this studio now, it's more like whatever anybody brings to the table, let's look at it. Let's take a look at it, see if it works. And if it doesn't stick, then we're going to move on. But one thing that happened recently that I thought was kind of cool was one of the songs that will be released for the EP, which I won't say the name. Don't worry, Mikey. But Mikey was talking about it when he had problems sleeping.
Oh,
and
I was wondering where you were going with that. I was like, what song? Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
So
I know, because you guys been together for a while, so it could have been
be
so
himself.
Many things. But yeah. No, it was just that one.
No, I remember.
You know
the
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, discussion.
Of course. Yep.
And so that was inspiration for the bridge of that song.
Yeah.
His lack of sleep. Okay. Thank you for not sleeping, Mikey.
Yeah, it was a rough couple of... It was like a month, actually. Like, I straight up had insomnia.
And now it's part of a song.
Yep, it sure is.
You'll hear it on the 13th. It's The Bridge.
Yep.
But we won't know the name of the song until you tell the story on the stage that this song was inspired by Mikey's insomnia.
Exactly. I mean, you should know.
Okay.
I think you know, Lee. I think you know the song we're talking about, and it's about not sleeping a lot.
Yeah. What, I mean, we're just throwing it to you. What are you usually when you haven't slept a lot?
All right, let's move on because I'm not
angry.
You're tired of this conversation. I get right.
All right, that's all the time we have, fellas. No, I'm just
right,
kidding. Just
later.
Kidding.
No.
All right, venues. What's your favorite venue you've played at?
In this band or just in general?
Oh, you're going to go there?
Well, we've only played one show as this band.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Okay. That's true. All right. Any band that you've ever been in, favorite venue?
Favorite venue I've ever played in?
I'm curious about this, too.
I wanted to kind of do top three, just really quick.
Sure.
The Whiskey A Go-Go in L.A., Slim's in San Francisco. And I'm going to shout out Oregon. There's this little theater in Rogue Valley that looks identical to the Uptown in Napa.
Oh, cool.
And so, yeah, those are my three.
That was Mikey the drummer with his top three.
Yep.
Yoke, there's no pressure for you to do three.
Yeah, I haven't played too many, like, fantastic venues. A lot of bars, a lot of just kind of outdoorsy stuff.
With or without the chicken wire in front of you?
Usually without, if I behave.
Oh, that's good.
But probably favorite venue, yeah, the Whiskey A Go-Go is, like, really awesome. And I played there, God, like, 12 years ago, so it might be different now. But they were super cool, and it's, like, just being in, like, one of those historical places, you can see all the stuff on the wall, other bands yeah. that have been there, there's crazy amount of posters outside, and you're just like, oh, man, I'm here. Like, the same stage that almost anybody you can think of from the L.A. scene has
right.
played. It's insane.
Inspirational and intimidating all at the same time. James Porter.
My favorite so far has been actually the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco. You can definitely feel that there's a deep-rooted history there, and it's one of the larger venues that actually has a setup for like a green room, and the sound engineers really, they take care of the musicians, and being on that stage, you can kind of feel the level of musicianship you need to bring to the table.
All right, Surf?
I love the Blue Note because we have such a good relationship with all the people that work there, and whenever we play there, it feels like we're coming home.
Yeah,
we have a lot of friends in Napa. We grew up in Napa, you know. So that to me, the venue is important, but also the people that come and see you creates the energy, and that's what I look for when I play a space. Is everybody, are they feeling it like we are on stage?
So since we opened it up to any venue from any band that you've ever been in, I'm a little surprised that Bottle Rock wasn't and even mentioned.
Well, I guess I didn't realize that was a venue.
Yeah, you said venue.
I guess that is a venue, though. Technically, you're correct.
Well, thank you.
It's a large venue.
A very large venue. So.
It's a festival.
Fairgrounds. Yeah. So, Bottle Rock sounds better than the fairgrounds. So.
We're very modest. We don't like to brag.
Okay. I'll do your bragging for you then.
You heard it from Lee first.
All right. We have just a couple minutes, then we're going to take a quick little break, and we're going to come back and talk some more and hear some more pre-recorded music from the EP, and then we're also going to have some live stuff going on here. Also, Weekend Youth is going to be on Bob's show at noon today, so tell your friends, if you're listening to this now, that they want to tune in and listen to some more talk, and we'll find out what Bob's going to be asking you guys as well. So, real quick, around the room, 15-second answers. Is there a song that resonates more with the crowd than another?
That's a good question. I'll let you.
Mikey's
guys start.
Going first.
That we've played live now.
Yeah,
because not like what is upcoming, what we think is going to resonate.
Yeah, okay. Do that.
I think there is a revised version of a song that people are going to resonate with.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Remastered.
Oh no, re-envisioned.
Yeah, okay.
Re-envisioned.
And you can't tell us which one.
I mean, I could say it's the same one as what we were talking about.
Got to go
about.
To the show.
Yeah. I was the same thing we were talking about with Surf and my lack of sleep.
Well,
You
won't say the name of it, but you'll gladly share the origin of it.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, if you have seen us before, September, and then you go to this show, there'll definitely be a song you'll be like, is that? And then it's like, yes, it is that one.
It is that.
And it's 100%. Something that we all, I think, have like really like, oh, this is a cool song and everything. And then it's been kind of brought to the kind of polish that we're trying to push out now. It's just like, oh, yeah, that version, the new version is way better in every way.
That's kind of cool. Awesome. You guys covered your own song.
Pretty much. Yeah. We're remixed and remixed to cut it up and put it back together, and it's way better.
And Mikey's struggling mental health as a part of it.
James Porter.
Yeah, I strongly agree with that. This project has been a lot of reinventing ourselves, not as just a band, but as musicians and people, and just getting out there and connecting with that. I always say this, every show we play, there's a different vibe in the air. So there are songs that connect better with some people on different nights. But either way, I mean, you come to the show, we're going to blow your doors off.
All right. This is All Things Napa. I am Lee W. Miller, and it is time for the Real Estate Minute, and then we're going to get back to Weekend Youth. All right, January 2020. What is significant about that month? It is the highest volume of home purchase applications in 11 years. Did you just feel a little twinge of FOMO with that news? You're missing out. We all constantly hear about the coronavirus in the news. Well, guess what? it's a tragedy, but in this particular context, that is actually helping to keep mortgage rates low. Once the crisis appears to be averted and brought under control, at least from a catastrophic worldwide pandemic, actually that's redundant. Pandemic does mean world or countrywide, but I digress. When that happens, interest rates will likely bump up. So take advantage of it. Get in on the fun. Get in on the equity. Reach out to me, Lee W. Miller, leewmiller@gmail.com. And that is your Real Estate Minute. I'm always willing and able to talk about real estate, but right now we're talking to Weekend Youth. And during that commercial break, they did a little quick setup. They've got some instruments here. And I don't know, they Rochambeau'd to see who was going to do what. And surprise, Surf's on the beatbox. No, I'm just kidding.
And tell them about the backup dancers, too.
Yeah.
You won't be able to see those, but they're
the backup,
here.
Yeah, the backup dancers backed right on out of here. All right. So, never, ever before heard in the history of this band, in the history of the world, this song played on the open airways right now for your listening pleasure, Weekend Youth.
Trying to get out of this mess I'm in. I don't know where I'm going, but I know I've been. The signs keep throwing me off. Giving up on the person I've been. They never really brought me any pleasure or pain at all. Just stay the same. Cause it takes more time than I have patience. I waste my time with the happiness. I know I'm faking and it feels like I'm blindfolded, like the world's spinning, like I'm lost in the dark. Try to see through it, gotta keep moving. I feel it deep in my heart. I gotta be me. Stop taking life so seriously. I'm between who I am and who I wanna be. Step to the beat of my own rhythm. I'm just doing what comes naturally. Gotta be me. Split in the road again. I don't know the way and I lost a friend. Why can't we just hit the bars? I keep killing time with my impatience. Got a thousand empty reasons stacking up like it's just fine. And it feels like I'm blindfolded, like the world's spinning, like I'm lost in the dark. Try to see through it, gotta keep moving. I feel it deep in my heart. I gotta be me. Stop taking life so seriously. I'm between who I am and who I wanna be. Step to the beat of my own rhythm. Naturally, gotta be me. I gotta be me.
So now we've heard that song twice, completely different versions, all in the same 40 minutes.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that was cool. Very cool. And that's the first time you guys have ever done that in a radio studio. So this is your training for when you make it big and you're, you know, on Howard Stern or something. And
you know, exactly. Yeah, the acoustic versions are always trickier than the full band versions.
I bet. All right. Is that the only one you're going to play?
That's all we got.
That's all you got? Well, we do have one more on my hotkey here that I can play. Take Our Time. We can play that a little bit later.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
But Take Your Time.
Is that going to be? Yeah, I'll take my time. I'll play that when I want to play that.
Yeah,
don't you
ready.
Tell me. I'm going to take my time. Change the name of it to Take My Time.
Maybe
so,
we should have.
Maybe. No. So let's dive in just a little bit to your guys' background. Since we are doing this kind of in the counterclockwise motion, Mikey, what was the first musical instrument that you ever played?
It was actually guitar.
Oh, okay.
But my grandfather, he had a guitar, and I used to go up to his ranch all the time. And I just tried to play, but I was really small when I was a kid, so my hands were not able to play a guitar at all. And, you know, growing up listening to, like, Blink-182 and Green Day, I wanted to first play guitar, then the second one I wanted to do was bass. And then I was like, well, I can't do either of these, so I'm not going to be able to play music. And so my friends actually, you know, played bass and played guitar. They're like, well, we need a drummer. I was like, well, I don't know how to play drums, but I guess I'll give it a whirl. And so, yeah, then that's kind of where I started and just learned by watching other music videos of other artists and kind of mimicking their movements and kind of figuring it out.
So you never took lessons? You were just all self-taught?
So full disclosure, I did take lessons, but the teacher that I had didn't really see much potential in me. And he said, told my parents that you're wasting your money with this kid. He doesn't listen and he's not going to amount to anything.
Wow.
Doesn't listen. Knocking him out to anything. So you were destined to be a musician.
Mikey
and a drummer.
Mikey's work ethic inspires me in the band, though. He drills these songs. Like, he spends hours almost every day going through all the songs. So that teacher was very wrong.
Right. Well, and I mean, that's just a classic, you know, Steve Jobs, you know, Bill Gates, you know, they were all supposed to be failures too. So
yeah.
Bright future for you.
Well, I mean, honestly, it was more of like, oh, you don't think I can do this? Okay, well, I'm going to show you. And fast forward to one of the local shows in Napa, he saw me perform and win Battle of the Bands. And he was like, I was wrong.
Big of him to admit it. All right. James Yokoi.
Slide whistle. No, actually bass was the first instrument that I had a real size of, because I had like one of those plastic guitars I think every kid eventually gets that's not great at all.
Right.
So it was definitely bass for birthday or Christmas, one of those things, and I've never put it down since. But yeah, I never took lessons at shows, and it's like one of those things I kind of wish was around, and is because I only had music class in elementary school, which was the recorder, and then there was never ever a music program because I've always kind of been into music, but I didn't really get into it until college when there was actually like jazz class and piano class and guitar class. Like, oh, where was this my entire life? So yeah, bass has always been the one thing gravitated to.
Cool.
Still there.
All right. James Porter.
Nice. My first instrument was violin, and I took lessons for about 10 years and then totally decided that I wasn't in love with it. And then I picked up the guitar, and my mom taught me a couple chords, and I've been learning from people throughout most of my life because there's always something you can learn from somebody else. But for the most part, it's self-taught.
So you took violin lessons but never guitar lessons?
Yes.
All right. But for 10 years, the foundation is set.
Well, I guess. I learned how to play by ear. So
Suzuki method, right?
Yeah,
isn't that what it's called?
Suzuki method, yeah.
Yeah.
And when it got time, when I was old enough to actually read music, I was already not invested in it. So.
Right. All right, Sheriff.
I'm definitely the least skilled in this band. But I did, when I was very young, I started with harmonica. And I wrote the song that I thought was awesome. It was like...
About seagulls?
It was different. No, different. That was later. That was later.
Would took not a, give up on that seagull idea.
It took a lot to get to that, Lee. The first song was like... I don't know where I got it. I guess I just saw... somebody on TV playing harmonica, and so my song was like, "Ain't got no money, ain't got no no."
Oh, you're a blues guy from childhood.
I guess so. Yeah, or I thought I was at least. And so, whenever my parents had people over to the house, I would play that for them, and they would and they would applaud.
Is there a video of that? Because we need to watch that.
That would be I'm so happy that there's not a video of that. But that's how it started, and then from there. It evolved into teenage journals, right, where I would just write what I thought were poems, kind of like you, Lee, except yours are probably better than mine were, in my little journal. And then that's when I met James, and then I converted those poems into songs and then eventually learned how to write and sing songs along the way, I hope at least.
Very cool. Very cool. So... you just brought it up again that I write poems. My inspiration for writing poems is my love for my wife. And so almost every poem that I've ever written, other than goofy birthday poems that I write for members of the family, has to do the whole love component. And so I can't even imagine coming up with a subject originated from insomnia or some, you know, you hear these songs and it's like, who thought about writing a song about that? And then there's so many songs, Dave Matthews, for example, it's like, what the heck does that even mean? What are those lyrics? There isn't any, I guess I'm just too buttoned down. I want a start. I want a middle. I want an ending, and I want it to convey a specific message or sentiment. And so many songs that I hear now, there isn't any of that. And yours seem to have that structure.
Well,
to
thank
them.
You. Yeah, that's a huge compliment because we are. Well, we are gonna. I'll mention the dangerous word here because it's been. Because I feel like people have mixed. ideas about what this word means. It's the word pop music, right?
And right.
James Porter can speak to that because I think he's sort of grappled with that term over time. But that's what if you can write a good pop song, if you can write a good love song, Lee, to me, love songs and pop songs are the hardest songs to write. Well,
huh?
I guess this is getting over the fact that when you identify what you think is pop. At least from my like growing up, I think pop, I think like, you know, boy bands, and I think like Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. I know that's dated. And now pop is just my friends in the studio always say, you know, a good songs are good songs and you will know them because of that.
There's a lot of bad pop songs out there too, right? I mean We've written our fair share of bad pop songs that hopefully we never released, right? They just don't make the cut.
Stop bringing up the seagulls, sir.
Yeah, no more seagulls.
You could any other bird. Any okay. other bird.
Hawks. It's another bad lip reading.
You Beavis, chose the flying rat.
Beavis the beautiful and Butthead flying already rat. Did the song Lesbian Seagull. All right, so we're good.
I'll have
All
to
right.
look that up.
It's been done.
It's been done.
I do like the somebody, I don't know where it came from, but this is not original. Somebody says, how you doing or how you feeling? And the response is happier than a seagull with a french fry.
That's
pretty happy.
And it's beautiful to think that seagull, that's all that
flying
seagull needs
rat
to be happy.
Is happy that he stole some kid's french fry and you're okay with that.
There are some aggressive seagulls out there. I've experienced
yeah.
this.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to the, what is it called now? Oracle Park Giants Stadium now? The yeah. San Francisco Giants? They're everywhere.
Yeah.
And they just feed off of, you know, like, you can tell when the game is just about to end is because when the seagulls start coming in. Like,
so they know.
They know, absolutely, because they see all those people start to leave, and then there's food everywhere because people are slobs and pigs, and so they don't clean up their mess. And so seagulls
clean up your mess, people.
Seriously, right. It's not that hard. I mean, it really.
Do you think seagulls prefer garlic fries or regular fries?
I don't know if garlic fries are bad. They probably, like, honestly, like, that expression, happier than a seagull getting a french fry, that may lead to his, like, demise quicker than if he didn't have that french fry. So maybe he's happy in the moment, but then,
yeah,
done.
Heart disease of seagulls. That's yeah. Our next problem we all need to address. So are there some specific...
this is a wonderful tangent. Who are these people and what are they talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I should mention that we've been talking. We're talking to Weekend Youth, and this is All Things Napa, and I'm Lee W. Miller. Are there some songs in the works about a particular subject? I wouldn't ask for the song name or anything, but is there something other than a love song that is in the works, that there's a subject matter that might be considered pretty unique?
Oh, that's a good question.
The answer is no. It's a horrible question because then we're moving on.
There is.
Yeah, without, like, giving away the names.
I'm trying to think of how to describe it.
I feel like all of our songs sort of take ideas and morph them into something that's hopefully a little bit more interesting. That's definitely our goal.
Yeah.
I think the goal with a lot of songs, too, especially nowadays, is trying to find a familiar subject matter and write it in a new light that still has the familiarity from however long the subject's been around. Like, you know, everybody eats, everybody sleeps, so that kind of stuff. So when you write stuff like that, is how do you take a subject that everybody knows, there's tons of songs about it, and rework it into something new, different, but still familiar enough that people can get into it. So, yes, there are some songs coming up that kind of follow that, where it's like, oh yeah, I know what they're talking about, what they're singing about, I can get into it.
Can you share the topic?
James, what song were you thinking of? Because I know you had one in mind that you wanted to describe.
Well, I mean, it's more so we as people have a lot of day-to-day things, and I think you and I, Surf and I, have been writing music from that outlook for a long time, is that there's nothing really that elevating about people. We're all doing the same things. We all have jobs, and we all have passions and things which we love, and I think it's that observations that take you into the dream or the imagination part of your mind, and that paint these pictures that make these songs so meaningful.
Yeah, the song I was thinking of is one that takes a look at love from the other point of view. What if love wasn't a good thing? What if it was a bad thing, and all this time we didn't realize it?
That's one I was thinking of too.
Yeah. And my favorite line that we came up with from that song, with all of us kind of collectively, the guys that we worked with especially, do a good job of sort of taking my line and making it make more sense sometime. It's in the second verse. It's "Heart's a Rubik's Cube of pixelated feelings," which is surprisingly difficult to sing.
Surprisingly? No, that's not surprising at all.
But I just think that's like a really cool line to throw in there.
Say it again.
"Heart's a Rubik's Cube of pixelated feelings."
Wow.
Yeah.
Just kind of fun. And you can't throw too many lines in there like that, otherwise people are like, all right, buddy. But every once in a while you sneak one in there that's just kind of fun.
Well, if it works in the song, maybe that would be one of those songs where the whole band stops and you narrate that line and then pick it back up again.
Okay, guys, more me, less you. Yeah. Let's do this.
Even more, yeah.
Or all four of you narrate the line in unison.
Or someone has a Rubik's Cube and they juggle three of them. Maybe.
How about this, Lee? We actually stop at a different part of that song.
Oh, we do, yeah.
Yeah, so there is a stop, just not where you want it.
The other cool thing about that song is that it sort of tiptoes into through EDM a little bit.
Yeah.
So genre-wise, I think we're bending things a little bit in kind of a cool way.
Yeah.
So if you're not curious by now, come see the show. Yeah. It's March 13th, Friday the 13th. Bring your Jason mask.
That would be cool.
That's
be careful what you wish for, James. I don't want to an audience full of Jason masks.
I would.
That's cool. Gonna be creepy staring back at a bunch of Jason masks. Yeah. Oh God!
I actually thought about that. I was like, man, maybe I should wear a Jason mask. I thought about it
as a drummer. Just that'd be kind of cool.
Just for the show, one time.
Yeah, except then Jason will be there, and which one will he be?
Exactly.
The real Jason.
The 7-foot one. That yeah. Bald and looks like he's 300 years old.
This has been really fascinating radio. I don't care if anybody else liked it. I really enjoyed it. I learned about Weekend Youth that it's a collaborative effort. The songwriting is an ongoing process where everybody's providing input. You guys are not such big egos that when everybody says the Siegel idea sucks, that you let it go.
It took me a minute, but yeah.
Right.
He still hasn't. He's just not vocal about it anymore.
He's like, all right, how can I work the Siegel idea into a next track? How do I do this?
Remember, we've been doing this for 5 months, and it was one of the first week ideas. It's still here.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because it's good fodder, but yeah, we need to let that go. Maybe you switch that subject to a children's book.
That's a good idea.
There you go. Yeah. And that way you can release it.
That's not a bad idea.
His kids are probably already sick of hearing that too. Probably Surf Cells is like, hey, Siegel's, and his kids run away.
That's the funny thing about being a singer for me is that I sing so often and I sing at home, and you'd think that they would be, you know, graced by my amazing skill, but oftentimes they just tell me to be quiet.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, stop singing, Dad.
All right. Man, I can't believe that we are already out of time talking to Weekend Youth, and we didn't even play Take Our Time. So I guess we could just play ourselves out with that. Guys, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
I really look forward to the show on Friday the 13th at Jam Cellars, Jam Ballroom. Yeah. And
remember, it's upstairs.
Yeah, above, it's the upstairs.
Above the Blue Note.
Yeah, above the Blue Note. That's where the big boys play. That's where the big venue is. And
put our big shoes on.
It's going to be a great show. I, for one, am glad that I already have tickets. And if you listening don't have tickets yet, you better hurry up and get them because they're going to sell out.
You can find it in the link in our bio of our Instagram, weekendyouth_, or you can go to jamsellersballroom.com and find Weekend Youth EP release show and get your tickets there.
And we're playing with three other amazing bands we should have spoke more of, but they're amazing. Check out the details on the site.
Yes.
All right. We're going to play out with Take Our Time. Remember, live every day of your life as if your legacy matters, because it does.
Hello, hello, goodbye world. All the boys and all the girls. In such a hurry, it's all so blurry. It's almost like they forgot about me. Lost my
time. Time was a friend.
sad boy smile. It's a dip giveaway. Does he care? Let's take our time. If you give me yours, I'll give you mine. Let's take our time. Maybe it's a sign. Let's take it slow. Let's take our time. It'll be just fine. If you give me yours, I'll give you mine. And we'll take our time. I'll give you my.